Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Renal Steering Committee conference call on mineral metabolism measures. This conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Lauren Ritchie. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the renal call for the mineral metabolism measures today. Joined here by Eugene Cunningham, and I will be joined by Helen Burston, VP of Performance Measures here at NQF. And actually, Karen Pace could not attend the call today, so it'll just be Helen and myself. We have a full agenda for 2 hours today, and we have 5 measures to get through, and we will get to those momentarily. But before I do so, I will turn it over to either Dr. Crooks or Dr. Chandra for any opening remarks.
I think it's my turn this time, Christine. Is that okay?
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Thank you all for calling in today and welcome. Briefly, what we're going to do is go over 5 measures related to mineral metabolism that we were unable to do during our live meeting. And after taking roll call, Lauren will briefly introduce each of the measures and try to really highlight areas of disagreement. We want to focus on areas where there may be controversy and not so much in areas where the primary reviewers seem to all be in high agreement. The plan will be after, not during the call, but after the call to re-vote on all the measures. And I think Lauren will send out a survey monkey afterwards. And then as time permits, we will also try to discuss any related or competing measures at the end of the call. So we did this with hemoglobin anemia measures 10 days ago or so, and it seemed to work pretty well. So please try to stay on topic, and also you may want to mute your phone when you're not speaking. But please don't put us on hold. Okay. Lauren?
Thank you, Peter. So at this point, I'll just take a really quick poll of the committee members and the work group members that we do have on the call. So just to confirm, I see here we have Alan Kleiger,
yes.
Andy Narva, Jeff Burns, Jesse Pavlenek,
yes.
Christine Chandra, Peter Crooks, Michael Fisher, and Michael Summers. Is there any committee members on the call that I did not name? Okay, great. So just as a reminder, you may want to maximize your screen in the upper right-hand corner as we kind of go through the measure submission forms in the Excel file. And what we sent out prior to the meeting was a summary of the work group's preliminary evaluations based on your entries before we met at the in-person meeting. So it's essentially the same information that was sent out to you in both the Excel and Word versions. And as Peter mentioned, I'll just provide a brief description of the measures and the preliminary evaluations, highlighting any kind of issues or concerns or points of disagreement among the committee, and then that's where we'll open up for discussion. We do have measure developers on the call who are available to respond to any questions that you may want to direct to them. One thing before we get into the actual measure discussion, so what we did with the vascular access / patient education work group that met a couple of weeks ago, for the criteria of high impact, we kind of wanted to address all the measures at once. And so that work group essentially agreed that the area of vascular access was a high impact area, and so we kind of eliminated the need to discuss that particular criteria for each of the measures. So if this committee or if this work group agrees that mineral metabolism in general is a high-impact topic, meaning it's an issue that affects a large number of patients, it's a frequently performed procedure, then we will assume so for all of the mineral metabolism measures, and then we can suspend any discussion of high impact. So I'll just open it up to the work group to see if you all agree or disagree with that suggestion.
I'm okay with that.
Lauren, this is Peter Crooks. I think that actually on a number of these, if not all of them, there was most of the reviewers felt that there wasn't sufficient importance to measure or report, that the impact was not high. For instance, the first measure, the sponsors measure, four out of five voted that it was not important to measure or report. So I don't think we're going to be able to do that.
And that's fine.
You're looking at it in a different way than I am, but that's what I'm sort of seeing.
And that's fine. And that was also kind of based on how we looked at the measures during the in-person meeting as well. But that's absolutely fine. We can look at high impact for each of the measures as we go. And then also...
this is Peter again. If we find that a measure isn't, in this group, of high importance to measure report, we're still going to need to go through the rest. Is that correct?
That's correct. For these work group calls, yes. And
okay.
In fact, for the first two measures that we're going to start with, the serum phosphorus and the calcium measures, there is some additional information that I'll present to the work group that we may want to take a closer look at. So, but yes, we will have to go through each of the criteria as efficiently as we can. So in addition to high impact, there's also some issues of evidence and reliability and validity that will probably take up the bulk of the discussion for these measures. So just a little bit of background on that.
And Lauren, this is Helen. I just want to know that I'm on if you need me.
Okay. Thanks, Helen.
Joe Nally has joined, too.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. Our first measure is 0255, measurement of serum phosphorus concentration. And as Eugenia is going to pull up the measure submission form, and I will just give a brief description. This is percentage of all adult peritoneal dialysis and hemodialysis patients included in the sample for analyses with serum phosphorus marked at least once within a month, the numerator being number of adult dialysis patients included in denominator with serum phosphorus measured at least once within the month. The exclusion are transient dialysis patients, pediatric patients, and kidney transplant recipients with a functioning graft, and this is a facility-level process measure. So as Peter mentioned, this is one of those measures where we did have some variation on high impact. So if you can pull up the Excel file, Jane. And as you can see there, we've got two lows, two moderates, and one high. So I'll open up the discussion on high impact for this measure and see perhaps maybe for those that rated it low, why you did so or even high. We'll start there.
This is Jeff. I rated it low, and I guess this reflects my sense that process measures alone, measuring something without an attachment to any outcome or response to that measurement is to me is generally quite unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
This is routinely measured. It's always been routinely measured. It will always continue to be routinely measured. What's important is what you do. Well, what may be important, this may be an exception, but the importance lies in what you do with it when you
touch yourself, didn't you?
Say again? I didn't hear that comment. The point here is that when we know that there's something to be done in response to a measurement, it's that response and patient outcome that's important, not the fact that it was measured.
Correct, and you're absolutely right. That's something that our CSAC has been putting a lot of emphasis on with related to some of these process measures.
Laura, this is Michael Fisher. I may have rated it low. Unfortunately, I'm at the VA and there's security and I cannot pull up the webinar, but I have the materials.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the concerns had been, and Karen clarified this, is what impact are we rating? Could you maybe clarify again about because my sense of walking away from the in-person meeting that it was the broader impact of kind of the area and less about a specific measure, but I may have had a misunderstanding, and it's been several weeks since we met.
Lauren, sure. I can help if you'd like.
Yes, go ahead.
Sure. So this is Helen Burston. So basically, impact really is more so the general area. Is it a high-impact area of care, large enough schools affected, or a severity of the problem? It really is the, I think the issues that Jeffrey was just raising are more so about the issue of is it proximal or distal to outcomes in terms of its import. I think 1A is really about truly impact of the condition.
Okay, that's helpful.
Yes.
Okay, so are there any other comments on high impact?
Just to clarify, I think that, you know, mineral and bone disease is important. So that, not to minimize the importance of the general topic area, but
right.
As opposed to this specific measure.
Sure. I mean, just one like quick thing. I mean, Jeff, whatever the evidence, we know that there is retrospective data that has a strong correlation between phosphorus levels and survival.
Sure.
And given that alone, I would have to say that this has high impact in our population.
And this is Jesse. I was the one person that did high impact in for the very reason that was just expressed.
Isn't the impact, though, of that measurement only when something useful is done with it?
Well, I see. To me, that comes more distal in the discussion. I mean, this says to me that it's an area that deserves – it impacts a large number of our patients.
I'll grant you that. So in general, the issue is important.
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like we have some consensus there and that this is a high-impact area. Just really quickly then, moving on to 1B, opportunity for improvement. There was some variation in the responses there. And as pointed out by one committee member, there was a 77% compliance rate on this measure, but there also appears to be a fair amount of variability ranging from 0 to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any thought about opportunity for improvement? Let's see, we have three low, one high, one moderate.
I'm just looking through my notes to see why. Looking at the data here, I find it hard to believe that every inpatient dialysis facility doesn't have phosphorus as measured on patients who are actually treated in the facility that month, or at least they're in the facility the day the lab tests are drawn. So I would have some concerns about the accuracy of that one data point using one source.
Yeah.
There's going to be some percentage of patients who are outside the unit the day the lab tests are done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that this is hugely supportive of a performance gap.
Okay.
On the flip side, we don't know that for sure, and perhaps some people don't draw it as often as we all think they do. But who knows?
And that was, I guess, the obligation of the measure developers to convince us that there's a performance gap.
Yeah, that's true.
This is Peter Crooks. I unfortunately got dropped for a couple minutes and missed some of the discussion, but I wanted to comment that under impact that, you know, the criteria have really changed since we voted for this 3 years ago. You know, at that point, we were rating things differently and kind of following guidelines and just to measure the frequency of a measurement was not considered less or inferior as it is now. So I really do have trouble with the impact that this is that there's a link between the evidence and outcomes from doing this.
I guess, Peter, we while you were gone, we thought perhaps that without having a link to outcomes, but the fact that the impact on our patient population of high phosphorus, since it's so prevalent, is high, and its correlation to outcome is so high, that the impact is high, whether or not we have a link, I think, comes more distal in our conversation.
Yeah, that's really 1B, Peter, when we get to evidence. So probably could move on. I think the impact issue is probably less concerning than I think the mixed ratings you guys have on evidence.
Right. And actually, that's a good kind of segue into the evidence for this measure and actually for the following measure. You know, I think we kind of agree that this, the focus of the measure is distal to the desired outcome, but there's a couple things I want to point out to the work group. These measures may initially appear to go down on evidence because the evidence submitted is based on observational studies about the relationship between phosphorus level and mortality, which cannot exactly prove causation. And there was no information submitted about any studies that show a decrease in phosphorus levels will lead to better mortality.
That's right.
There's evidence about a relationship between prolonged phosphorus dysregulation in ESRD patient, you know, morbidity and mortality, and it's based on clinical guidelines and selected studies. So should it be assumed that increases in phosphorus levels cause mortality, or could it be due to just the effects of kidney failure?
Or anything else. I mean,
correct.
Multiple other things it could be.
Correct.
We don't know from the evidence.
Right, and there was no strong evidence submitted that informs the providers as to the best means of achieving appropriate phosphorus levels. However, having said all that, in the measure developer's reliability and testing data, there is some critical information that you guys may want to consider. Specifically in 1C8 in their, on the measure submission form in their results section, a meta-analysis of the available literature showed an 18% increase in mortality for every 1 milligram increase in serum phosphorus. Additional reliability data, and this information was submitted after the measure submission form and the additional.
Well, but I believe that is based on the observational studies that you quoted before.
Correct.
So that this is just a refinement and an aggregation of those same data.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There was some reliability data that was submitted on an ANOVA analysis, and that's on page 26 of that PDF document. There was an intra-class correlation of 0.17, an inter-unit reliability of 0.94, which is an indication of how much of difference across facilities is actually due to true difference, and that 0.94 is a pretty good number. And the results from their validity testing indicated lower performance scores on the testing measure were significantly associated with the SMR, the standardized mortality ratio, and the lowest performance measure quintile being 17%. And the validity testing of this process measure is tied to the mortality measure that the committee found suitable for endorsement at the in-person meeting, at dialysis facility risk-adjusted mortality ratio. So I just wanted to point that out and just kind of highlight those areas that was submitted under their reliability and validity testing but may have some implications for the evidence discussion. So I'll pause there and see if the group wants to weigh in on evidence.
Yeah, this is Joe, and as you recall, last winter I presented the other measure that Genzyme put forward where we set a target for phosphorus.
Correct.
So I think that nobody would argue with the observational data that high phosphorus, however you define it, is associated with increasing mortality, and that this whole issue is an important one. I think the dichotomy that we're going to struggle with may be that, well, it's maybe good to measure that, but the struggle relates to the evidence or the absence of evidence saying that having a high phosphorus that is then treated in any way, shape, or fashion, since there are no randomized controlled trials that translate into a morbidity mortality advantage with some type of treatment. I mean, that's, to me, the fundamental struggle here. whereby we might be saying it's something to measure because it tracks risk from observational data. But I think it's a separate question then about, you know, thresholds, targets, or treatment. And as I understand it, this measure is only related to the, you know, the actual measure it or not measure it. I think there's a lot of assumptions, if that is indeed the measure, then, okay, so it's either high or low, what should we do with it? But I just the absence of evidence that we've asked for 2 decades that I think makes those that look at the subject and come up with a recommendation that I think probably impacted our discussions last January, which was when a KDIGO or other international group looks at this and says that there are insufficient data for phosphorus and PTH to make it a performance measure. I guess that's what I'm struggling with this measure before us as well as the measure we looked at last winter.
Okay, others from the group on evidence? Are we in agreement? I know this is kind of not the first.
Again, it's Alan. I think that Joe expressed it articulately and correctly.
Okay. So just kind of as a general statement, I think this evidence discussion is probably going to be applicable to a few of the measures that we're going to look at today. So I will just kind of come back to that discussion as we get to the evidence section for the following measures. So I think if the group agrees, we can move past evidence to usability. There was appeared to be some variation there, and maybe we can just have a brief discussion on usability. There were 2 moderate, 2 low, 1 high.
I don't have any additional comment. It's, you know, it's measurable, and it should be relatively easy to get, you know, to track whether or not it's ordered. It would require some effort, but it would be doable.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so there didn't appear to be any variation on feasibility. So moving right to suitability for endorsement, we had 2 yeses and 3 noes. So kind of just considering the discussion we just had on evidence, how does the group feel now about this measure being suitable for endorsement? And I know we just had the discussion, but just want to maybe perhaps hear from others on the call.
This is Peter Crooks. I think we, you know, I agree with Joe's comments. Also, I think, you know, for us to be asked to re-endorse this measure as a voluntary consensus standard for the country is maybe beyond what our current criteria allow us to do. I think it is an important measure. I think it's going to be measured. I think, you know, as practitioners will do what they do with it. But for us to say that this is so important that health plans should be looking at this metric and that it's going to probably improve outcomes if we endorse it, I think is a little hard for me to swallow. What about others?
Well, if no one else has talked, let me just give 10 seconds on where sort of I feel about this. Joe, I think, outlines the evidence nicely and the absence of not only randomized control studies, but the absence of any interventional trials, whatever their design, that would lead us to believe that intervening makes a difference to some other outcome. So I share that skepticism, but having said that, I must say that of all of the measures, I mean, PTH pales besides the correlative data for and calcium both, just pale if you look at all the data, behind the correlation for phosphorus and outcomes, heart outcomes and intermediate outcomes as well in terms of bone disease. And I guess my own feeling is that given absence of randomized control trial does not mean indeed that we shouldn't be endorsing measures that there's at least some evidence that we think is important. And for phosphorus, the correlative data to survival is so remarkably strong that I believe that measuring it, just saying that it ought to be measured, is important. Why? If you can't tie it to something, well, because people with dramatically high phosphoruses, I know of very few clinicians who would not indeed think that we, despite the absence of RCTs, that we shouldn't do something to get those down.
Alan, doesn't this get to an issue that we've talked about before, a question, and that is, where is the line drawn between, yes, this is good medical practice, this ought to be done because it's part of what we do in taking care of these patients, versus making it a performance measure for public reporting?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I do think it's part of that discussion. In the continuum of that discussion, this is just one that just to me jumps out and says, in the year 2011, I still think that clinicians should be following the phosphorus levels.
I would agree with Alan. I could sleep at night sending out the message that serum phosphorus, particularly its elevation, is important, and somebody ought to be measuring it on a regular basis. I have a level of comfort with that because it has us addressing this issue, as opposed to the other side where you're setting a target and an inferring treatment is good that I was not comfortable at all with. I think having a measure without anything more than saying you should measure it is an important message to be heard. But
if I could just also point out, not to belabor the point, that this measure specifically requires phosphorus measurement at least once per month.
Yeah, good point. I guess whether it's monthly, quarterly,
annually.
Jeff, are you going to measure phosphorus as just once a year on your patients?
No, I'm not. But again, we're talking about a performance measure here.
Well, that's right.
What we think is the best thing for medical practice. I think it's easy to make a case that monthly measurement is not necessary. I think it's hard to make a case that it is necessary. I'll rephrase that.
Let me play the devil's advocate for a minute. Let's say, for the sake of discussion, we took the approach of not passing this measure, having, you know, the same discussion and outcome as we did last winter. My concern would be there might be a message sent that we don't view this entire area as important, and that we do not recognize that observational data. I understand, Jeff, the 1 month or 3 months or whatever, but I don't know, mixed feelings about this one, but it seems to me that there should be some general recommendation out there, at least measuring.
And guys, this is Lisa Lantz. I apologize. I just joined. Which measure are we talking about?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
We're talking about, what number is this, guys? I can't remember. The phosphorus.
Hi, Lisa. It's Lauren. It's 255, measurement of serum phosphorus. Okay.
So I think just kind of given this discussion here about suitability for endorsement and the need to, in fact, have some kind of process in place for monitoring this, I think what we'll do is kind of capture all of your comments and concerns, and then we'll just see what happens when the work group formally kind of votes on the measures, and we'll see what kind of what comes out in the wash under the major criteria and the sub-criteria. But in the interest of time, I want to get to the other measures as well, but definitely take into concern your issues about this measure, because I'm sure we're going to revisit and have the same conversations again. So if there aren't
Lauren, this is Peter. I'd just like to kind of revise my sentiment a little bit. I think if you compare phosphorus to the pKa and calcium measures, there is a stronger linkage to mortality, as Alan pointed out. And I think if we were to say, we need to have, we really would like to have something on mineral metabolism for dialysis patients, this probably makes more sense than perhaps the others, and we'll be talking about those shortly.
Okay, absolutely. And that also may just be something you want to include in your notes when you submit your SurveyMonkey, and that kind of expressing these concerns, but perhaps still considering the importance of the measure. So with that, I think I'm going to move on to the next measure, that being 261, measurement of serum calcium. Again, this is essentially almost the same measure, except we're looking at calcium, 77% compliance rate with this measure, same as for phosphorus. So much of the same discussion is true, or I'm assuming would be, for this measure. It's a monthly measurement of calcium, and it is a facility-level process measure. I did just want to point out that the committee recently recommended a measure, the ESRD committee last winter recommended a measure about hypercalcemia, and that was proportion of patients with hypercalcemia. So, again, the evidence applies, the discussion about evidence applies, the discussion about reliability, validity.
Yeah, but if I may, there's a real difference in the discussion here than the phosphorus. It has to do with the safety signal.
Okay.
As we discussed, because patients, particularly those that are on medicines that increase calcium, are critical to monitor. So monitoring calcium is not just following the course of chronic kidney disease, but an opportunity to pick up patients that are being overtreated and are developing threatening hypercalcemia. So I would look at this a bit differently as a safety signal rather than a, you know, sort of a pure quality signal.
Okay. Then with that, then point well taken, why don't we just start with the criteria and go through, we'll start with high impact and then move on to opportunity for improvement. So we do have some variation again in the responses here across the board with low, moderate, and high. So is there any discussion on high impact? Okay, or is there any discussion on opportunity for improvement? Alan?
Lauren, this is Peter. I wanted to point out that as opposed to the phosphorus measure, where three people voted for higher or moderate impact, we have only one vote for high impact here. Mm-hmm. So that is different.
You're right. Correct. That's just one. So, any other comments?
I think it's the same as it was. I think I was the only high last time too, and the rest there were a couple of mediums and a couple of lows.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it looks like things haven't changed from there.
So does the committee still, or the people on the call, don't you feel that this does not provide a high impact metric?
And Alan's comments about the calcium venous, hypercalcemia being a signal that we need to attend to is important. I don't think that the submitters made that point, although I don't have the full application in front of me. And we do know that we have passed a metric along those lines. So I'm inclined to vote that this is not impactful.
I agree.
This is Lisa. Can I just ask a question? And I missed the previous discussion, so I feel like I'm a little handicapped here. But I guess the question is, maybe it's not the most important measure in the world, but it is, what I'm hearing is that, A, it's important, and, B, what other measures are out there that are more important? I guess I'm thinking of sort of the quality world where a lot of times we measure things that maybe aren't the most important, but they're a start, and this is something that's measurable. Clearly people, you know, the results are not 100%, so it's not everybody's not doing it. So I guess I'm wondering what the harm is, even if it's not the most impactful measure.
My explanation, again, I think in the absence of some other performance measure that doesn't already get at what we're concerned about, which is the safety signal, I would be inclined to agree that there may be some more value to this. But we have we have endorsed a measure or recommended for endorsement a measure that really gets to the heart of the matter, which is safety related to hypercalcemia. So that's closer to the desired outcome. This is further away. It seems like that much less. And I guess the other comment I'd make, rather than looking at it, what harm does it cause, I would ask what benefit it does in addition to, you know, the additive to what we already have.
Well, and then maybe a quick process question. Should we consider the other measure now, or do we consider this measure on its own and then harmonize after?
Well, technically, you're correct. Our job is to consider this measure without looking at competing or similar measures.
That's correct, yes. Okay, so are there any other...
I guess cutting to the chase... I think if there were no measures of calcium at all, I would personally be concerned about the safety signal and want to pass this one. We have one, as Jeff points out, that's much closer to it, which at the point of harmonization we can get to and harmonize the measures. So my own take would be that I would say this still deserves to be endorsed, and with a recommendation that it be, and this is a facility level measure, correct?
That's correct.
And that we harmonize this facility level measure with the clinician level measure that we passed already.
You know, I'll just make the same comment about this that I made before, is this stipulates monthly.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last comment?
Guys, for phosphorus, this measure again specifies monthly monitoring as a requirement.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I still didn't hear that.
This measure is based upon, or the performance on this measure is related to monthly monitoring of calcium as opposed to some other frequency, which I think just leaves open a question of what is, if we're going to endorse a measure around simply measurement, there ought to be some justification for the frequency of measurement, and there's none here.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we kind of want to try to at least hit on each of the criteria if we can. So moving from high impact to opportunity for improvement, again, some variation there between low and moderate responses. Is there anything under opportunity for improvement that the work group wants to address that we haven't already discussed, I know? If not, then I think we want to spend a little bit more time talking about evidence for this measure. And, Alan, you mentioned that this has some difference between the last measure we just looked at.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about correlating calcium alone to survival, like we talked about, the data are far less convincing for that, for calcium.
Others in the group, thoughts on evidence?
I think most of what they have cited here is tangential to the specific question about benefit of measuring monthly calcium. You know, associations aside, vascular calcification aside, again, it gets to the point that Alan made, that the link between hypo and hypercalcemia and outcome is less strong. The occurrence of that is less common, and its relationship to any of these outcomes is much less clear.
Okay. And any others? Okay, so if we can, just for a few minutes, talk again about scientific acceptability for this measure, reliability and validity. The relative risk of mortality for the lowest performance measure quintile for this measure was 16%. So is there any thoughts or any discussion that differs from our previous discussion on reliability and validity for this measure? Okay. I'm taking that to no. Then,
the only thing I'll add is I thought that the section on reliability and validity was a little bit confusing. They have numerous CPT and ICD-9 codes undefined, and then they also keep talking about with chronic kidney disease and then parenthetically stage greater than or equal to 3. So maybe, Lauren, this is corrected, but I think that's an error. They meant less 3 or less, but I don't know. But anyway, it was difficult to read, and I thought there were some inconsistencies.
Well, if you want to ask the measure developer if they want to clarify, we can do so. Do we have someone from Arbor or CMS on the call?
I'll take that as a no.
Yes.
Okay, so I think we'll just quickly touch on usability and feasibility. Is there any discussion under usability? Again, we're kind of across the board with a couple of low responses, one high, one moderate. Is there anything different from the previous discussion on usability that we want to point out here for this year?
I guess I'm a little confused. Why would anyone call usability low here? Those of you, all of you who said low. Why would this not be a usable if we judged that it were scientifically important? Why would it not be usable?
I don't remember. I can't see what I rated this.
We have lows from Jeff, Constance, Lisa, and Peter.
I have a comment there for usability. Can somebody open that and show me what I wrote?
I can comment, Alan, that in my view, usability is for public reporting. I'm sort of thinking of sitting on a quality board of a health plan, and interest says we need to look at this, if calcium is being measured in dialysis patients monthly. And from that perspective, I don't think it's that usable.
Yeah. Alan, my comment there was understandable but not useful or meaningful.
Oh, well, that's right. But is that what usable means? I just...
Part of the criteria for usability.
Useful and meaningful.
It's supposed to be a measure you think would be especially useful for both quality improvement and public accountability.
I see. I got it. Okay. Thank you.
In other words, you can measure it and feasible, but not, I didn't think, useful.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay. So looking at feasibility then, there appears to be general consensus there on feasibility, with most responses being high. So again, we'll look at suitability for endorsement again, with two yeses and three noes. And given the discussion we just had on the phosphorus measure, does the group feel the same way in that perhaps this is still an important area to measure? And what does the group feel about this measure being endorsed, being suitable for endorsement?
Well, again, I guess I would say I would not look at it the same way I look at the phosphorus measure. I think you have to look at it as a safety, potential safety signal measure, and would want to see it harmonized with the one that we passed for the physician level measure.
The interesting thing,
I would agree.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The only kind of interesting catch-22 there, I think we wanted to have the hypercalcemia as a safety issue, but in order to be able to detect that signal as a safety issue, I think it infers that you are measuring serum calcium.
Yeah, that's my point, Joe. I think that's why the harmonization would be important.
Some way that.
Does anybody recall what the frequency of monitoring was for that measure?
I think I have it here. Proportion of patients with a 3-month rolling average of total uncorrected serum calcium greater than 10.2.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then for this measure, we will make a note that the work group would want to see this measure perhaps harmonized with the previous hypercalcemia measure. We will get back to the measure developers on that and then perhaps turn around something back to the work group to then take a look at for potential harmonization. That's assuming that... through your vote, this measure will move forward as suitable for endorsement. And you may just want to make note of that in your online surveys that you do after the call. Okay, so I think we're moving on. The next three measures, again, another phosphorus, calcium, and PTH measure. Again, considering the same discussion about evidence, the same topic areas, except for these measures encompass CKD and not just ESRD. So starting with 0570, CKD monitoring phosphorus. These are members with phosphorus level blood tests during the measurement year, and this is a clinician and health plan level process measure. You may want to take into consideration the previous conversation on phosphorus, but we'll perhaps maybe start with high impact again for this measure, specifically because we're now encompassing CKD and not just ESRD. So maybe we'll open up the discussion on high impact for this measure and see what the group thinks.
Can I ask a question first? I'm sorry. What is IMS Health?
IMS Health is the measure developer. Are you asking the acronym?
Yes.
Do we have someone from IMS on the call?
I believe Judy's on, Lauren.
Judy.
Basically, they are one of many measure developers out there primarily using claims-based data for measurement. This is Helen.
Looks like they're a consulting firm or something like that.
I think they had another name before they were bought by a big consulting firm, so adopted their name. Forgot what it was before. They've changed names in the last year or so.
Yes, they have.
Okay. Do we know what their funding source was to examine this question?
Or what their stand, you know, sort of why they're involved in this at all?
They are a, I believe, a measure developer that primarily focuses on claims-based measures, not specific to renal at all. They have a wide variety of measures across, you know, all conditions. And I believe they are a proprietary vendor of measurement.
So they're for profit, right?
I just wonder what their funding is. Who funded this? You know, was it the pharma people who are selling drugs that are funding this? I just wonder who funded it.
No, I don't believe so. I think it's as Peter points out, it's a for-profit measure development company.
Well, no, I know that, but they have to be making profit by getting funding from somebody.
I believe they sell their measures and the use of the measures.
I don't know who they are, but it's probably like RHI where they, they Resolution Health, they sell their services to health plans and to systems to measure quality.
I see.
And hi, this is Lauren. Kareen, operator, are you there?
Yes.
Can you open the line, please, to Judy Chen from Woodland Hills? She is a measure developer. Perhaps she can set some light.
And our line is open.
Hi, this is Judy. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Hi. Okay, I just want to explain IMS Health a little bit. I think with the Helen that was explaining it. I mean, it's exactly right. We're a consultant to the healthcare companies. We help them implement P4P programs. So we develop measures that would be in line for their, you know, that would be useful for P4P measurements. And so these measures are not funded by a pharma company, per se. Or what happened, I'm an MD, I'm an internist, and I did some training in health services research. So I just looked at, you know, what would be useful and what would be useful to for the quality measurement domain, and my team, we develop the measures. So we're not paid for to develop these measures by a specific entity.
This is Joe Nally. I remember looking at one of these. Now, I don't know if it was your company, but are you the company that was originally started out of New York City by some cardiologists?
No, the company was originally started by Antonio Legarreta. I don't know if you're familiar with his name. He was under Health Benchmark. He did come from New York, but he moved to California soon after. But he was not a cardiologist. So.
Thank you.
So if I can ask one additional question, so then your use of this, if it is endorsed by the NQF, would be what?
We'd like when we go to health plans to sell our services, we would like to say, you know, we would like as much of our measure to be, you know, to be endorsed by a national entity, that they are valid measures for, because a lot of health plans use for pay for performance and even public reporting, and we definitely want these measures to be reviewed by NQF.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And this is Lisa. I can just add that when we're looking at pay for performance programs, we try to develop broad programs across a variety of specialties. And unfortunately, for many specialties, there are not decent measures. So that, you know, what companies like this are trying to do is find measures that cross the specialty spectrum.
Right.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa.
Okay, then so we'll get into the discussion then on high impact for this measure. Again, we kind of spread across the board here with low, high, and moderate responses. Is there any discussion or is there anything under high impact that the group wants to address?
I guess I didn't vote on this one, huh?
I apologize, but could you show us the numerator and denominator again for this measure?
Sure, and I'll also read it. Numerator is members with phosphorus level blood tests during the measurement year. The denominator, members with at least one inpatient diagnosis of CKD during the year prior to measurement year, or members with at least two diagnoses of CKD in an outpatient setting during the measurement year or year prior, at least one of which must be during the year prior to the measurement year.
So, I don't know, this is more of a validity and reliability thing. I'd be very curious if maybe they replied to this, the measure developer, as to why they're defining CKD with codes in that way. And this is the one that has a long list of codes, and there's inconsistencies about what they're defining as CKD.
Okay, well, what, yes, that is under...
That we get to reliability, validity. I actually, Lauren, as you know, I have to leave the phone conference, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to mention that now.
Okay.
But I think that it's unclear to me, I've used administrative data extensively in VA and Medicare, why they're using certain numbers of codes, inpatient, outpatient. I don't know, maybe I missed it, but it's not clear. And then it gets at the heart of integrity of the measure, if you're really identifying appropriate individuals with CKD or not.
Okay, we will certainly bring that to the attention of the measure developer once we get on the evidence criteria. Perhaps we can move to evidence if there isn't anything under high impact or opportunity for improvement that the group wants to discuss. There does appear to be suboptimal performance overall and variation by provider in this measure. So if any other comments, perhaps we can look at evidence now.
This is Peter Cooks. I just say that as opposed to doing a monthly phosphorus in a dialysis patient to impact mortality, which, well, you know, we talked about at length, here we're talking about an annual measurement, and the focus is, I think, really to detect and treat early bone disease. And I think, in my view, it's easier to vote that this is impactful, reasonable to do, and there is probably a performance gap here where there isn't so much a performance gap in the dialysis population.
Okay, and operator again, Kareem, if you could open the line to Arena from IMS.
And our line is open.
Okay, thank you. So, given, is there anyone that wants to address Peter's point?
I'll make a comment. It's Joe, because I'm tuned into this issue with our CKD registry, 70,000 people in it. One, and I'm not sure if this is the appropriate point that Michael started making, one is about who gets labeled with CKD, particularly as an inpatient diagnosis. But the other question that relates to Peter's point, and Peter having Kaiser data may be a great source of information here, but I think there's tremendous opportunity for improvement here because many people within a healthcare system who happen to have different degrees of CKD, particularly early on, the suspicion is that fairly low numbers of them actually have serum phosphorus measured annually. You're going to have a defined population here. We could get to their definition of CKD, but the real question across the nation of all these millions of people, these 16 million of GFRs less than 60, how many of those do we think you'd actually be collecting data on that are in healthcare systems keeping track of this information?
That gets down to the reliability and validity,
right?
Really reliability or usability and feasibility.
So, Peter, do you have a sense, having made your comments about tracking it once a year, within a closed system like Kaiser, what kind of numbers you're looking at and how big of an issue this is?
I wish I could pull out that data for you. I don't think we've looked at that in that way. I've seen what percentage of CKD patients have lost this track, you know. So we haven't really approached that in a systematic way, and it might be a good thing to do. But I'm afraid I can't answer the question.
But again, this is Lisa. So I think it's a much bigger issue than just the closed health systems. You know, just the little bigger issue is the new rise of ACOs and those systems. So that's just one issue. The other issue is, you know, as the developer said, just pay for performance for nephrologists. You have the whole attribution issue there. But if this is indeed a quality problem and there's a gap, which there appears to be, then, you know, we need to improve it. And without a measure, you can't start to improve it. Now, who we is, whether it's the physician, whether it's a system, whether it's a health plan, whether it's an ACO, that is all to be defined down the way. But without a measure, there's no hope of even doing any of that.
Yeah, no, Lisa, it's Joe. I agree with you 100%. And again, there's a little bit of a catch-22. If your group happens to be one of those forward-thinking groups in a closed healthcare system or an ACO or something, then you are being kind of held accountable to a measure. My suspicion is right now that the average free-ranging patient out there and their doctor who may or may not be doing a decent job are not held accountable because they're not in a system that can measure it. That's a little bit of a conundrum.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is a problem.
Okay. Taking into account, I think, again, this may be an issue that we'll just have to see what happens as a result of the outcome of the voting after the call. But I do want to spend some time looking at evidence and reliability and validity testing. So was there anything under evidence? Again, there's some variation in the responses here. Is there anything under evidence that we have not already discussed as it relates to the other phosphorus measures that we talked about? Okay, so then if not, there's a couple of things under reliability and validity. This is a provider-level measure. But the reliability and validity testing was conducted using a large aggregated data set, and they don't compute the scores at the level for which they say it's going to be used to assess performance. The other thing is that the measures report at clinician level, but no clinician level data were provided in the results for the testing. And generally, reliability should not be rated high unless data is provided for both the data element and the score, and they compared scores over time compared to large data sets and the literature, but is that really the an appropriate test of reliability? In their supplemental responses, the measure developer did provide a rationale for using correlation of facility scores in two time periods as a demonstration of reliability. They conducted a retest of the provider scores between 2 years for two plans. It found the retest reliability high based on Pearson's correlation coefficient, but this is not considered an appropriate test of reliability, the test retest, because it's not the same patient.
Well, doesn't it also, all this tells us is that whatever they did the first year and did again, had similar results, but it doesn't tell us at all what the accuracy was of their first year test. And if they missed, if they were grossly inaccurate both years, but the methodology remained the same, then they would have similar outcomes, but both would be grossly inaccurate.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
What they didn't do was go into their 43.6% and confirm that that was true or correct, or an accurate representation of performance. If I understand this correctly.
Is that something you want to address to the developer?
It's on the line, Mabel.
Judy,
I think it would be a good question to ask Judy, Lauren.
Judy, are you still there?
I think Judy is here. This is Irina from IMS. One reason, as we mentioned before, we are a firm that does create indicators for our clients, and the clients do have the data. We don't have access to electronic medical records or charts to be able to perform any sort of reliability testing in that way. And that is why that we did do the correlation coefficients instead. Additionally, we do have one thing we do offer our clients is a product called HBI Online, where they are able to take a look at their results. And if a test was done, they are able to create a flag showing that the test was done, and we go ahead and go over those flags.
Does that answer your question somewhat, Jeff?
It doesn't change the fact that what was tested was not reliability.
So let me just ask the technical question. If we don't have adequate reliability testing, does that stop us at that point?
Well, for the purpose of this call, we would kind of go through the rest of the criteria. But correct, if it did not pass on scientific acceptability, then we would not move further in the measure.
Yeah, and this is Helen. For many of these claims-based measures, we, for the most part, expect signal-to-noise analyses for these large claims-based measures. And the question is this adequate? I'd be curious of Karen's take on this, Lauren. Did she indicate? I know she's not available today.
She did not, but
we can clarify that with Karen Pace.
Can I ask also a question regarding their reliability and validity testing? I think I know the answer to this, but was there any analysis done using the exact measure, or was this just looking to see whether a phosphorus was obtained on a patient population? Do they use the measures CKD definition or some other measure, some other definition to determine the tested patient population?
Operator, can you please open the line again for Judy Chen as well as Irina?
Their lines are now open.
Thank you. Did either of you want to respond to that question?
I would like to. This is Judy. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. I first want to address the way we define the AD denominator, because I'm sure that has a lot to do with the validity, whether we can accurately capture the denominator population. The reason we have such an algorithm, because we're following methodology, there's literature that examines the validity, the sensitivity and specificity of claims data in capturing the CKD population. There's actually at least three papers, and I can recall offhand, but I'll be happy to forward after the call. They checked it either with the laboratory data or they checked it with patient interview. It depends on what, mostly with laboratory data. And they did find a methodology using specific codes, the number of instances in which it appeared in an outpatient and inpatient setting, how specific it was, and to define this population. Now the algorithm we chose was very much in line with the literature that shows the specificity of capturing the CKD population up to the 98%, 98%. That's very specific. Not as sensitive, that means they miss CKD patients, but we want to make sure whoever we capture is at least have CKD when we are measuring. And we also checked in the numerator whether a phosphorus was done. As you know, in this measure, we excluded the dialysis patients because dialysis is by bundle coding. We were unable to capture them, you know, whether they were done during the dialysis session. But for everybody else, we captured whether there's a phosphorus. And I have to look in the literature for that, but I believe that in order to get paid for the phosphorus measurement to be paid, that you did this lab, you have to have billed it to the health plan. So I think it's reasonably reliable that we could capture that the phosphorus measurement was done.
Okay. Does that answer your question? Should we perhaps maybe have the developer submit additional information to get back to the work group on this, on their reliability and validity?
I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So then we'll stop there on reliability and validity. We'll get something back to the work group. Irina and Judy, I will work with you offline. Looking at usability for the measure, across the board, there seemed to be mostly moderate responses under usability. But is there any other discussion here that the group wants to address on usability? And actually the same for feasibility as well. Most of the responses were moderate as well, so there seems to be general consensus there. So unless there are any other comments.
There's really no consensus. Both of them have lows, mediums, medium, moderates, and highs.
Under
feasibility.
Oh, yeah, oh, you're right. I'm looking at the wrong one. So we have three moderate, two high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading that correctly.
And one low.
Yes, feasibility, yeah. So, okay, is there any, I mean, given the variation there, do we want to discuss a little bit about feasibility for the measure?
Yeah, maybe I can just ask.
Are we looking at the same one? Under feasibility, I see two rated high and four rated moderate on five.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
That's under 4D on the data. I'm just going 4A is across the board on feasibility.
Well, you're looking at the more detailed one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I ask a general question? That is, when we talk about feasibility and usability, it would vary, I guess, depending upon who was using it, right? So one of these big, you know, a company or a health plan that has access to huge numbers of claims, and it's all internal, and particularly if it's universal, you know, they have every lab test on all of their patients inside that system, its usability and feasibility are different than if a less confined health system or plan, multiple outside labs were going to try to use this. Does that weigh into our decision-making at all?
I would think that's more implementation than the feasibility of the measure itself. I mean, if it's feasible.
Right. And Helen mentioned for us, usability typically, you know, is looking at quality improvement or public reporting uses.
This is the issue that I was bringing up before in terms of, say, a closed system that's well done in identifying their CKD patients and knowing what, in this case, laboratory studies are monitored. That may be very feasible for them, and I think it's the right thing to do. I think the struggle is that the majority of patients in America with this diagnosis are not in such a system. So it's, in my judgment, this is the right thing to be doing, and how do you browbeat the rest of the world into complying with this processes of care if you set a measure based upon a minority optimal care group I mean, that, to me, that's the primary struggle. The fact that, say, this group or Kaiser knew all their patients and could give you this answer is probably the right way to go, and this is how we ought to point people. I'm just concerned about if we set a measure for the country, how it's going to be assessed and monitored in kind of a wide-open system.
So I guess that I guess the gist of my question is that then just up to each health plan or insurance company to decide whether or not they want to use this measure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's with all of NQF measures that are just out there in the world, and then those who want to measure performance in one way or another just pick the measures that are applicable to their situation.
That's correct.
So in a way, this is very, very different than an ESRD measure where you have this closed system with the federal program, you know, monitoring process.
Well, it's actually not, because in the ESRD measures, those measures are also out there, so health plans or anybody else could use them as well. Now, because we don't have the data source, it's more difficult, but like a Kaiser that has the data could absolutely use all those measures.
No, but I'm saying if I'm an ESRD provider and say it's hemoglobin greater than 12, that is not only being monitored by the ESRD program, but is now has what we might have thought as some time ago as an unintended consequence. That particular measure is now under kind of a quip, you know, kind of paper performance. In that sense, it's different in that it's a more structured system. Whatever individual plan happens to pick up one of these pre-dialysis ones, they have a lot of leeway as how they apply criteria and lots of other perturbations on the theme, I guess.
I guess I'm coming from, this is Lisa, coming from sort of a different place, so that's how I think about measurement overall. So I'm not quite understanding the difference, because that's to me, that's what measurement is.
And Helen, did you want to weigh in on?
I agree with what Lisa just said. Yeah, I don't think it's actually that different.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on. I know we're kind of getting close on time. We still have a couple more measures to look at. Suitability for endorsement for this measure, we're kind of split right down the middle, 3 yes, 3 no. What's the group's thoughts on suitability for endorsement?
This is Peter. My main concern is the reliability and validity factor. Otherwise, I think it's important. I think it's usable and presumably feasible. But I do have concerns about reliability and as we ask, the measure developer may have a chance to make their case on that.
Okay, so does the group agree that perhaps we'll just wait to see what additional information the developer can get to us and then look at suitability for endorsement after receiving that information?
Yes.
That's fine.
Good idea.
Good.
Okay, moving on then to Measure 0574, CKD monitoring calcium. Again, the numerator, members who received a calcium level blood test during the measurement year. Denominator is the same as the previous measure. The exclusions are members who are on dialysis or in hospice during the measurement year. Also members who were hospitalized during the numerator time frame and did not fulfill the numerator criteria. Again, a clinician health plan process measure based on administrative claims. Again, this is very similar to the previous measure, but I know, Alan, you did mention some
With the other two, the first two measures we looked at, some concerns and differences between the calcium and phosphorus measures. Would you say that you have the same concerns here with this calcium measure?
Not the same degree, because CKD patients, and again, I'm concerned about the definition of CKD. I'm not only concerned about reliability and feasibility, but I'm also concerned about how it was defined by this developer. But the relatively early stages or modest stages of CKD are unlikely to carry with it the risk of use of high calcium medicines causing hypercalcemia, much less likely than in ESRD. So it would not carry that same safety concern for me.
Okay.
Maybe I ask another question, which I guess I should have asked in a higher measure as well. I haven't looked closely at the ICD-9 codes, but does this include CKD of all stages, so somebody with normal GFR but proteinuria?
Judy or Arena, can you clarify?
This three, I see 583.xx.
I'm sorry. What was the question? Whether it includes
all stages of CKD, CKD stage 1, 2, 3?
Only includes stage 3 and above.
Thank you.
And exclude dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are there any other thoughts here? Should we look at high impact for monitoring calcium? Are there any differences and thoughts from the previous measure looking at phosphorus?
Just quickly, this is Alan again. I would find it much less convincing that there is a rationale for yearly measurements of calcium in the wide population base of people with CKD stage 3, for example. I just don't see it.
Others from the group?
This gets back, in my view of this again, is this may be on an individual patient basis something that's important to do as part of good medical care, but I don't see it being a valuable performance measure.
And this is Jesse. After the discussion, I certainly would drop my high down to at least a medium or low even.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask. So then looking at opportunity for improvement, here we have all lows and just one moderate. Are we of the same thought here that as we are? Does everyone agree here that this is a low rating for opportunity for improvement? Are there other thoughts? Okay. I mean, I know there's not much difference between this measure and the previous one that we're just looking at calcium, but just want to make sure we touch on all of the criteria. So moving on to evidence under reliability and validity in general. Again, this measure is currently endorsed, and it has 100% physician compliance in both the first and third quartile, perhaps suggesting no room for improvement. So are there any thoughts there under reliability or validity? Again, I know it's not much different from the previous one, but just want to make sure.
It's Joe. Again, I'm kind of echoing what Alan said. This may be less than important in these stages. Threes, but when you actually look at the evidence, I've gone from middle of the road to kind of low across the board, and I'm just not a high degree of enthusiasm to make it a measure on the evidence that's there.
And this is Jesse, and in light of what we've discussed, I would certainly change my final vote to no on this one.
Okay, thanks. So given that, we'll just really quickly, under usability, is there any thoughts on usability different from the previous measure?
I
We had two lows, two moderate, one high. Jesse, I'm assuming you're changing your response again as well?
Well, it can, it's usable.
Okay.
So I don't know that it matters at this level, but there certainly is a lot of variation because of the various clinical impact on calcium. So.
Others? Okay, feasibility, it looks like we have all moderate responses there, unless there are any thoughts on feasibility. We can look at suitability for endorsement, and there we have two yeses and three noes. And not to kind of rehash the same discussion, but I just want to offer the opportunity for those to weigh in on their thoughts on endorsement for this measure. Okay. So then we will capture your formal responses on your recommendation for endorsement in this survey. And then the final measure of the day is 0571, and that is the PTH measure. Again, the same measure developer, and this is members who received a PTH level during the measurement year, same denominator. Exclusions are members who are in hospice during the measurement year, and this is a clinician health plan process measure, again, based on administrative claims. Specific to CKD. Just as a reminder, the two pH measures that were discussed at the in-person meeting were the intermediate clinical outcome measures with specific high and low pH values, and those measures were not considered suitable for endorsement because basically there's not sufficient evidence that altering pH levels affects outcomes. Measure implies that two drugs were the right intervention, and there's evidence they will lower PTH, but no evidence of improved outcomes. So just wanted to remind the work group of that. Again, this is another assessment measure, and we've been talking about assessment measures so far, and I think we have a pretty good understanding of the group's thoughts on that. So we've talked about calcium and phosphorus measures, but we haven't talked about monitoring PTH and CKD. So with that, I'll start with high impact and see what the group thinks. There was some variation there, and one high and three moderate and two low. So what are the group's thoughts on high impact for this measure?
Low. I mean, just the thought of having a performance measure in CKD stage 3 that asks for PTH measurements year after year for the 75-year-old with CKD 3 seems to me to be incredible. I think that the impact is a negative impact.
Right.
Yeah, if this was a metric to measure it once, maybe, you could get back, but to say that in this patient, it has to be done every year to be good care, I think is wrong.
Yeah, I had the same gestalt here. I tried to muster up a near medium in the first column, and then everything as we head to the right quickly falls off to lows as we start looking at it with any degree of evidence.
Hmm. Okay. Then, if there aren't any other high impact, looking at opportunity for improvement, again, variation there in responses, a couple of comments by the work group members who evaluate these measures. Maybe we can pull up the comments there, Jane. So, although there are no time frequency evidence-based guidelines, there are clinical guidelines that show evidence of a need to monitor PTH. And there may be a gap in measuring PTH, but given absence of evidence-based guidelines for frequency of measuring and management of abnormal values, it's hard to argue a need for this measure. So just wanted to, again, offer the opportunity for folks to weigh in on opportunity for improvement.
Depends on how you define improvement. I don't see that it's an improvement to increase the frequency of measurements of PTH to CKD.
Right, there's a performance gap, but I think that's probably it's easy to swallow. But, again, if the impact isn't high, then it's a different issue. I think there's a performance gap.
Okay. Any other thoughts there, perhaps either on impact or opportunity for improvement? All right. Looks like we're doing good here. Really quickly, evidence. As you mentioned, we're kind of seeing more lows here as we get further into the evaluation, but much of the evidence is only about aberrant levels of PTH, and no evidence was cited to indicate that patient outcomes are improved by annual PTH testing. So, as has already been mentioned on the call, but any other thoughts about evidence? Knowing that assessing the lab value is not proximal to the desired outcome. And also the measure developer did not really provide performance results on the measure, so I know that was a concern as well. But any other thoughts on evidence? Okay. So then I think perhaps just for the rest of this measure, reliability, is there anything under scientific acceptability or any other key points on either usability or feasibility on this measure that we haven't discussed with the prior two CKD calcium and phosphorus measures? And again, under suitability for endorsement, we have three yeses and three noes. So perhaps maybe the group can just weigh in on their overall thoughts on that again.
I'll maintain my no.
I see that I'm a yes, but that I would make that a no.
Okay.
And it's Jesse, as would I.
Constance, where are you?
I don't think she's on the call. Okay, then. So I think what we'll do is, as I mentioned, we'll send out a survey, like, as soon as this call is over, so that hopefully while the discussion is fresh in our minds, you can get your votes submitted online, and then we will take the recommendations from this work group and then forward to the full committee.
Lauren, can I ask a question before we leave this area, a question of the measure developers?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, in general, I believe you're going in the right direction here, trying to, you know, measure or maybe even set up targets in certain areas related to CKD. And I'm presuming we're only seeing part of your package as it relates to calcium phosphorus PTH. Do the measure developers actually have data as to a patient with CKD and their recommendations for measuring, say, serum creatinine or some marker of proteinuria or albuminuria? Is that part of your CKD package?
And possibly blood pressure, Joe.
Well, I'm just looking at laboratory things.
Right. Okay.
And creatinine and proteinuria would be, you know, two things that the CKD consortium would look at to try to predict risk being all-cause mortality or a renal outcome.
Either Judy or Arena, did you want to respond?
I'm on the line. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that would be, we don't have a creatinine one, but do you mean like a yearly measure to check creatinine, just to check whether it was done, creatinine was checked?
Yes, the idea is to see if the kidney disease is progressing, if the patient's at risk for dialysis and so on.
Well, thank you for that suggestion. We will definitely pursue that. I know there's measure out there to look at proteinuria for the diabetic population, but I don't know specifically for CKD. So thank you for that suggestion.
And I know that blood pressure, I think most people would, on the face of it, say these patients should have their blood pressure checked at least once a year and maybe even to try to look at the percentage of patients controlled to a specific level. So that's another thing to consider in the future.
Thank you.
Just be careful. I would be careful not to take this as a recommendation of the NQF. You're hearing some thoughts
Correct.
From some committee
right.
members here.
But thank you, nevertheless.
But, no, putting life in perspective, if you're concerned about the health and outcomes of a CKD patient, whether their disease is progressing related to a creatinine or an EGFR, and whether they have a little proteinuria, no proteinuria, or a lot of proteinuria, could be, personal opinion, looking at the literature, more important things to be following than, say, a PTH value.
Okay, thank you.
Of course, the conundrum is that their denominator includes, by definition, a creatinine.
Correct. The question is it getting worse?
Right.
Yeah, I think our denominator doesn't include the creatinine value, so I think that would be okay. It just includes diagnoses to fall into the denominator.
Well, but the diagnosis, that's true. It doesn't contain the value, but it has to be of a value sufficient to define CKD stage 3, 4, or 5.
Right.
Would it be possible to ask a question without any of the developers on the line?
Sure. We can,
Once we're all done, otherwise.
Well, we're open, but we can keep them from responding, but I don't know if we can keep them from hearing.
Correct.
Okay, never mind.
But if there's something you want to forward via email to the group, then we can get that to the measure developers.
It's not a question for the measure developers. It's a question for the group.
Yeah, that's fine. Just send it along to Lauren, and we can take care of that.
Okay, so with the few minutes we have left, we've gotten through all the measures, and there was a section on the agenda for review of related and competing, and we're not going to go through that entire table in detail, especially considering the discussion we've had on the CKD measures for phosphorus and calcium. From our previous discussions, we're going to take a look at harmonization with the previous hypercalcemia measure, proportion of patients with hypercalcemia, and the one that we're looking at today, 0261, for calcium. But were there any other either harmonization or competing issues that the members of the work group want to address or discuss either with the phosphorus or the calcium measures, if you take a look at that table of related and competing measures? What I think what we'll do is we'll look at these more closely. We'll ask the measure developers to come back with a plan for harmonization, if need be, and then we'll have the steering committee recommend something, and then that way it kind of saves everyone some time there. But just wanted to check in with the group to see if there's any other harmonization issues that you want the developers to consider.
Lauren, not shown on your table is the competing calcium measure that, or complementary, the other calcium measure that we passed. Is that right?
Right, correct.
This table shows 261 and 574.
Right.
I don't know the number of the other.
Yeah, and I think what we discuss is that we will look at what's not on the table is measure 1454, proportion of patients with hypercalcemia
right.
for potential harmonization with 0261.
Right, so that needs to be added. And
mm-hmm.
interesting to note the frequency and the method. They found there's differences with a running three-month or a three-month app versus a monthly measure. So whether they're combinable or we can look at.
Yeah, and like I said, that's something that we'll certainly have the developers look at and let us know how feasible that is for them to do, then get that back to the work group and then the full committee. So if there aren't any other critical issues around harmonization or any other burning issues or discussion points that we want the full steering committee to consider as it relates to the mineral metabolism measures? If not, then I think we will open the call to our...
Lauren, do that. This is Peter. I was muted and I was trying. I just wanted to ask the question of you. When we do the survey marking now and we write in rationale, I'm sort of concerned about what the full steering committee is going to see. Are they going to, because we've already written a comments in before,
uh-huh.
and so we're looking at, and now we're going to survey monkey, and there'll be other space for us to and rationale, and when we get around to doing a full steering committee meeting, is all of that going to be visible, or just the more condensed stuff from this time? I think it's important because I'd like to ask the work group to either compulsive or you know, to put in a lot of rationale or maybe not, depending on how this is going to be forwarded.
Yeah, I think the original thought was to just send the full committee the results from this second call today that we're having after the work group has had a chance to discuss and kind of hash these issues out. But we can certainly maybe provide a maybe side-by-side analyses of what the committee members thought prior to the discussion and then after the discussion and then maybe compare the votes or their final thoughts on recommendation. Is that what you're asking?
Boy, I'm thinking it through as I'm asking the question. I think that to send all of this to them would be a bit redundant and overwhelming, and they do have access, right, to this earlier material that was sent out to them. So,
correct.
So I guess I'm thinking that it may just be most reasonable to send them the new stuff. And in that case, I would ask the committee of those on the call who are going to be doing the survey to be sure to succinctly sum up their concerns and their rationale.
Well, we can do that, but I would hope that we've captured some of the key points, right? I mean, I've heard the comments made that many of the key points have been captured.
Yep.
Right, Lauren or others
yes,
there.
Yes, that's
so we
correct.
Can, yeah, okay.
That's correct. And we'll also provide a summary of today's call
good.
With some of the key points for the full committee.
Yeah. I mean, Peter, all I'm saying, of course we should each write that, but I heard lots of very good points made, and rather than relying on our memories, we'll put it in, but I know that the NQF folks have been taking notes and will include the high points of the discussion.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And that summary, as well as the results from the voting, both will go out to the full committee.
But we're going to see the... summary of this call before we get to do any votes, correct? Make sure our memory and the written document remember the same thing.
Well, that was a part of the reason why I wanted to have you all complete this survey perhaps today or tomorrow, so that while the discussion is kind of fresh in your mind, you can complete the survey. Otherwise, we can certainly leave the survey open until after we complete a summary, if that'll help you. But we can do
I think every member on the call should endeavor to try to do the survey within a day or two.
Yeah.
While it's fresh in our minds. And I know we have some of us will be on the call tomorrow and you know, these things. So it's really an advantage to do it while it's fresh in your mind. And I would agree with Alan. We don't need to write volumes about what to rationalize our vote. But I think I believe that when we really get around to the final steering committee, not everybody will be able to read every note from every one of these meetings, and they'll be looking at this at the high level voting and these particular comments. So I think this is your opportunity, particularly if you have a competing point of view, but also maybe to illustrate what the majority of us thought as we went through these measures. So.
This is Christina. If I can just add, I think it would be good to, especially for those who changed their vote from the preliminary to this vote, it might be good to put that in for the rest of the steering committee to see why you may have changed your vote.
Yep. Thanks, Christina.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, and as Peter mentioned, we do have another call tomorrow from 2 to 4, and that's Eastern time. That's for the dialysis adequacy group of measures. So if you can attend that call, great, even if you weren't in the primary group. So we'll have lots of summaries coming your way to look at, hopefully, and everyone will kind of be on one page by the time the committee meets again by mid-October. So if there are any other questions, comments, concerns, you'll be getting a link from me for the survey shortly after the call. If not, we can, Peter, do you want to open the call for the NQF comment period?
Yes, let's go ahead and open the call for member public comment.
And operator, if you can open all the lines, please.
All right, it'll be just one moment. All lines are open.
Okay, we're open now to other comments from members and public on the line. Anyone care to comment?
Or any of the measure developers?
Okay, hearing none, I will assume the public approves of our work, and I think we can adjourn unless there's any other questions from the committee.
I just want to thank everyone again for your time today, and hopefully we can speak with some or all of you all tomorrow.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Okay. See you there.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.